Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. Kind of, sort of. All right. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. We are at the spot, the place, where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today, we have Eugenia Ogonova from Maine Brains, and we're going to talk about the spiritual realm, but how to coach a coach. You know, a lot of people have gifts, but to save souls is big business. How do we translate that into business? How are we able to structure spiritual readings, maybe Reiki, maybe hypnotherapy, light work, energy workers? How are we able to formulate that so that we can eat? But not only eat, you want to thrive. You want to excel. You want to be a subject matter expert. You want to be an authority. And that's exactly what Eugenia does. She works with spiritual coaches. She's also the author of 3 books, and she has a cat. So we're going to talk about all that and then some. Brains, help me welcome her to the show, Eugenia Ogonova. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too, because this is, people don't take stuff seriously. It's like me and my podcast. People will say all the time, oh, you know, podcasts, well, you know, I do them for free. Well, good for you. But when you have a skill, when you have a gift, when you have a talent, there's value associated with that. And there's a cost to doing business. Wouldn't you agree, Eugenia?
Absolutely. And I think this is a very good point that so many people are still under this old-fashioned idea that if it's something that comes to you naturally, or if it's a spiritual skill of some sort you have, then it should be free. When actually, it's something that you are applying your expertise on, and quite often years of it. And that means there is a cost involved, and that cost needs to match the value that you're providing. So it's a very good point.
In addition to that, you have a very philanthropic side that you're very giving, but you cannot pour from an empty coffer. It's as simple as that. So we are going to talk about that and then some. How old were you when you found out and started to develop the spiritual gift? And that necklace is gorgeous, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm one of those very unusual people because I was born clairvoyant, which means I can see timelines, possibilities, nonlinear realities, non-physical beings, and all this stuff that for most people is sort of like, okay, it's out there. But for me, it was kind of common sense reality. If something, I had to figure out how to live in the material world. But because I had to figure out how to do it, I actually got very good at practical things. And I started to understand very well how this material reality works. So by the time I was 14 years old, I was already seeing paying clients. Like people were always coming to me for advice, for answers. Kind of like, what is the lesson of their life or whatever they're experiencing, what it means, why it happens? Because I don't believe that we're ever victims. I believe that no matter what happens, there is some journey you're going through. There is some wisdom that you're meant to extract from the situation. And a lot of my clients ended up being people who had their own businesses. So this is how it eventually developed into helping spiritual or sensitive people who have gifts to transition into a profitable business. But I started when I was very young, when I was 14 years old.
Tell us one of your success stories. Tell us someone that you've worked with that just kind of blew your own mind.
Oh, there are so many people. I mean, some people come in with like, I feel in my heart I'm meant for bigger things. I know that this is this thing that is so important. I can like taste it, but I have no words for it. And meanwhile, I'm just like working in my family business or doing something else that's not quite the thing I want to do because I don't even know how to talk about the thing. And then we would figure out what the thing is. Like actually one of the clients I'm thinking, she came in and she had a lot of guts. Like she dared to dream big, but she had no idea as to how to talk about it. What is it her gift even was, if it's even was sellable how to package the thing, none of this. So we started from practically nothing, which normally now I take people who already kind of have something, but this is the example of something that's like really blew my mind. So we started from nothing and we extracted the gift. We extracted that expertise that was uniquely hers. And then we packaged it in a wording that her potential clients can understand. And then with that, she went on to the world, now not just giving away free stuff because she's a nice, caring person and compassionate, but actually delivering value with in a way that allowed people to recognize that, oh, I want to go talk to her. Like, I actually want to reach out to her. And that created an exchange, which then led her to, I mean, she went from charging $100 per appointment to charging $6,000 for a program to charging $12,000 for a program, and now like multi-six-figure business. Right. And all of that is from fully owning who she was and then having structures in her business that actually made her like literally think of it as a business instead of, well, I'm just doing this. Like, well, I just know how. Right. A lot of people do that. They don't take seriously the thing that they do. And business meant to make money. So if it doesn't make money, it's not really a business.
But also the right
client. Activity.
Until you're able to frame that, you're not able to really package it, nor are you really drawing the kind of clientele that would be paying that.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's a huge difference too as to who you're talking to.
Exactly. Because if you're talking to spiritual leaders and coaches, and mentors, we're not just talking about the sweet little empath or the sweet little Reiki or the little massage therapist that's been enlightened. We're talking about heavy hitters. Like, what's her name? Was it Bernice Brown? I can't think of her first name. She was a spiritual healer. But you're talking about people that have really, really been in that transformation, in the sweat lodges, worked with shamans, work with coaches, and also understand a religious doctrine. What do you say to the person that is fearful of this type of modality, this type of energy?
Fearful from what specific perspective? As a client or as somebody who wants to step into doing it?
We'll start with the client.
Well, as a client, that's kind of my philosophy. And I would think this is like one of the biggest thing I teach my clients is that don't talk to somebody who's not looking for the solution you're offering. So I would never be talking to somebody who I need to convince that this, like, oh, energy is real. All this multidimensional things do exist, or your emotions do affect your health. Like, somebody has to kind of already be somewhat prepared self-help book or two. So if they intuitively sense that this is something they want, then, you know, sure, they might be a little scared or whatever, but generally there are two levels of clients. There are kind of a traditional lower level client. That's the person who's just searching and learning and wanting to understand. And by the way, there's no value judgment here. I'm not saying lower, higher, as in good or bad, just literally distinction in a business. So the higher or the premium level client, that's the person who already done all that. They done their research. They went to therapists. They went to healers. They've done all that. But now they don't want to fix a problem. They want to arrive to the next level of themselves. They're now looking for an actual transformation. So the coaches and healers I work with are not the ones who just like fix an immediate pain, but the ones who work with the people who are interested in a really deep level of work to go to that whole next level of transformation within themselves. And that depth of work requires, of course, energy from the coach or the healer, which means we have to structure their business so that they have the space and internal capacity to be able to deliver service at that premium level.
Right, right, right. And also checks and balances. You're going to work with them to be accountable for what they deliver. Because, you know, when you're working with a healer or a preacher or a psychic, whatever, I needed to see it exuding out of you. I don't want another talk therapy session. I want to see results. I want to also have some takeaways that when I'm not with you, that I'm able to draw on these resources, to draw on these learnings, and be able to manifest them into my life and continue to grow. That's not to say not to work with you. I agree to always continue to work with you. But I'm the type of person that I want to outgrow my mentor. I want to outgrow my teacher because I want to be a stepping stool. I want to be able to help someone else up as well. You are the author of not one, not two, but three books. Tell us a little bit about your writing and what are in the pages of these books.
Well, this first book is called Mission Alpha, The Wise and Passionate You. You can get it on Amazon. That's my first book that is actually about 10, 12 years worth of the spiritual school I used to have that is essentially the curriculum. So this book, I kind of always joke, like, if you want to wake up and know your energy anatomy and understand like everything about how your system works, that's the manual. Like, you were born, you didn't know the manual, you didn't have it, here it is. published for you. So that's essentially going to tell you everything about you from the energetic standpoint. So this is the clairvoyant kind of vision that I have as to how the body works. My second book, Awakening the Harmony Within, that's more kind of a continuation of the original. But if the original was the manual, this one is more like, okay, application, like what to do, how to, different techniques, what you need to understand, and so on. And the third book is The Secret of Sekhmet. Sekhmet, this is the statue of her. She's a lion goddess in Egypt. And I wrote this from my past life, complete past life memory. I channeled the whole book about everything that was during the time of Akhenaten and Nefertiti and spiritual components of what was going on in Egypt at the time. So this is a spiritual, conscious, historical novel, while the other ones are educational.
Wow, that's pretty deep. Are you originally from Egypt?
No, I'm originally from Russia, and Egypt has been always in my heart as kind of a second home, because spiritually I'm so connected to that energy, and I visited many times, and I used to have a spiritual tour company and take people all over the world to sacred sites, and Egypt was one of the locations that I always brought people in for ceremonies.
Let me ask a question out of curiosity. You're from Russia. How is this type of work, energy, gift perceived? I mean, you know, people say they don't discuss religion, Christ, which this is something totally different. But I have no idea what's going on over there.
Well, Russia and Slavic cultures in general, not just Russia as Russia, but like, you know, any culture from that territory, they generally much more okay with the concept of energetics and spirituality than I think the Western world. So it's sort of ingrained as part of life. It's not religious. It's pure, just, it's a common sense that your emotions affect your biology or affect what happens to you, that how you think, how you feel makes a difference in your life and somebody else's, that you are in control of your destiny, and that there are, you know, different energy beings or guides or whatever it is you want to call them, that guardian angels that participate with you in your journey. That's a pretty common life concept in there.
Yeah, I know in Australia it's the same thing. You know, there are a lot of people that really accept that. You know, here in the United States, we want it tailored a certain way. You know,
well, like, it's every culture has its pluses and its difficulties. And I think that that's part of why coming to United States was such an important thing in my journey, is that I knew that this is where I could be the most effective in spreading the message. And since wealth energetics is really what I work with, so it's not just energetics, it's the abundance component of the energetics, this would be the great place to anchor that.
Wow.
I came here 30 years ago to the United States.
Let me ask you some fun questions. Are you married?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So now, is your husband in the same space? Does he do the same type of work?
Nope.
No. What does he think when you can really kind of read his mind?
Well, I don't read minds. That would be telepathy. And no, I don't have the gift of telepathy, and I don't think anybody does. Because most human beings' thoughts are so jumbled up that for somebody to actually read those thoughts, that's not right. How it works. So what I can perceive, and again, everybody is different. So my perception is clairvoyance, as in visual, which means that I see patterns, I see energies moving around, and I see if somebody's, let's say, saying something that they loving or they not liking, if they have some apprehension and so on. So it's sort of like, it's not even emotions, it's more like conceptual belief system of a person. That's what I see. So what does my husband think about that? Well, we got married when we were 19, and he was super fascinated with me then. Oh, he still is now.
That's wonderful.
I think when you don't have anything to hide, it's just kind of great.
It is, but you know, sometimes different energies form different patterns in different ways with different people, and they're receptive different ways, like children. Children will pick up on a certain energy. I know some children right now actually that are pretty empath. Well, they're empathic, mm-hmm. but others are very clairvoyant, and their parents are really trying to suppress that. We don't talk about that. We don't.
Well, yeah, it's a fear-based thing, and it also depends. There's so many factors. I mean, it depends on why did the child incarnated into that specific family? So was there a lesson to persevere through and not suppress their gift when they have done that in a previous lifetime? So in this one, they're learning to stand up to the authority so they can develop their own authority. I mean, why are the parents suppressing it? Usually there's also some sort of a fear-based pattern that's telling them, I'm trying to watch out for my kid by telling, you know, the child that, no, we're not going to go there because then you will not be accepted. So, I mean, there's so many patterns involved. And I think it's the most important part is for each individual to develop their own authority so that as they grow, they can shed layers of imprinting and conditioning and actually stand in their own power. Because we can only create from our own power, not from whatever your parents or whoever programmed you with, because all that junk actually miscreates. This is why most people's lives are such a mess. But if you shed this stuff and you uncover more and more and more of yourself, which mind you is a journey. It's not like you go to somebody and they do some magic wand trick and then you're all clear. It's mm-hmm. a process and we all have to do the work. Everybody does. Right. I mean, I still have to, everybody. But as we do that work, we become more and more pure in our broadcast, like our energy becomes clearer in like a radio station, right? You're putting signal out, peep, 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 and other people hear it. Well, imagine if your signal coming out with all the interference patterns. So it's like nobody can hear what you're actually resonating. So as we clear up all these interference patterns, we start to truly create with the quantum field. And that works in personal life, of course, and in business life and with clients and in everything. Because when we are clearly individual identity without all these overlays, that's where we can show up. And everybody, I think, has some abilities. It's just most people never develop them from the beginning of their life. And some might have even suppressed it. And then we kind of have to uncover it a bit.
Exactly. What do you want your legacy to be?
Legacy. That wealth is a birthright. Understanding that it's not something you have to earn. It's not something you have to prove to deserve. It's something that you naturally already, like you came in here with a permission slip from God, laminated, like it's yours. You have the right to it. But the fine print is to receive what's yours is you got to do the work. And when we do that internal personal work, self-awareness, self-mastery, and so on. The more we do that, the more wealthy each individual can become. And there's never really any competition.
And that's what I think a lot of people are worried about, the competition. What I'm a firm believer that was for me, I can't miss it. It's for me. It's designed for me. What's for you is designed for you. A person that is looking to work with you, what would be your ideal client?
Be my ideal client. First of all, I work with women. This is like already a territory there. Also, I work with women who have been seeing their own clients for something that is part of their natural gift. So it's not like, oh, I went to school and I got a coaching certification. It's more like I've always been intuitive. I've always been an empath. And then maybe I'm sure you got certifications and whatever. But that's like on top of something that you originally know you have. And usually they are, you know, conscious coaches, spiritual coaches, personal transformation experts, holistic experts like hypnotists or herbalists or acupuncturists or somebody who does work with the body one way or another. So anybody who is within that field of consciousness, and usually when they come to me, they know that they have a gift. They know their gift works because their clients are practically writing them love notes, but they're not charging enough for their efforts. They overdoing, overworking, overgiving. They know they're doing it, but they don't know how not to do it and still get paid. And when we talk about like, okay, how about bringing it to the larger audience so that you can actually bring in people that don't know you yet, they don't have the words. They don't know how to talk about this thing that they feel that they have. So that's my ideal client. This is where we start repackaging their unique expertise. What, you know, is it, who is it for, like the niche essentially, and then how to package it into something that is a premium level. Because I work with like 1% of 1%, like the top spiritual masters that just don't know yet how to get paid for this amazing thing that they do. So we package it into a offer of some sort, may that be a group program or individual or whatever it is that they do, that is based fully on their methodology. And if they don't know their methodology, we clean it up and develop it so that they can talk about it clearly. And then from that place, now the clients, the potential clients, they listening to these words and they go like, oh my God, I need this. I want this. This is like totally what I was looking for. I'm this kind of a person, because they're speaking to the right people. So that's what I teach them to. And then we, you know, scale to sustainable 10K months and, you know, six figures and beyond, depending on where the person wants to go. Some people very much happy with six, you know, figures, and that's where they want to be. Some people want multiple six figures. I have some clients who want to have, you know, millions and millions. This is like one thing I want to say that I think is always gets missed, because spiritual people always go for, well, what do I need this for? Like once my needs are taken care of and my mortgage or whatever is paid off, and for my kids, everything is taken care of. And then fine, I'll like, you know, do some things I like to do, like fly somewhere on vacation, then what? And it's like, you're thinking too small. This is the first thing I do is open up the vision. Like if you had right now extra $5 million, why not buy part of Amazon forest so it's not getting deforested? How about investing it in some, you know, little startup that's doing some really good thing to clean the ocean? Like there's so many things out there that need funds, and conscious people are the ones who know those things. So if we had funds, we can put it somewhere when it actually makes a difference. So it's not about generating money so you sit on it. It's about being the pathway for wealth to go through so you benefit and your circle of influence benefit. Besides women, we generally contribute to all our communities anyway, right? We don't want to go play the toilet or a jet or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of philanthropic women. And if they're not that, the person holding the purse strings, they are definitely the spouse to that one.
Exactly. Generally, women naturally want to give to, I mean, even just small businesses in your town, right? If you had more wealth, you could buy something for, I don't know, $200 instead of $20, like little even things. But it supports maybe some organic soap business or something. So there are a lot of ways how we can be the conduits for wealth, for us and for others. We enrich everybody, the more wealth goes through us.
Absolutely. And that makes sense. You made a great point. But a lot of people are afraid of money, period. Not even going to the next level. They're just afraid of it. And that comes, unfortunately, with some programming or some past life trauma where either they didn't have enough or they had to, you know, scrimp and scrape. They never really had afforded the luxury of understanding what money does, the influence, the power, and also the control. So people have to, you know, watch it. It's like almost having a loaded gun. You don't just lay it around. You have to make sure that it's protected and it's invested. And I'm sure that you go through that with your clients as well.
Well, that's money really linked to self-mastery. If the person is not their own authority, then they're going to be influenced by all the crappy patterns from whatever that they inherited. Absolutely. About, you know, oh, it's going to be taken away, or, oh, I don't know what to do with it and all that stuff. But usually I find that people do know in their heart of hearts, they're just too afraid to go there. So when I work with my clients and let's say money comes in, we just, or even before money comes in and they're worried about what will happen and then sabotaging money coming in. We usually go into some internal adjustment as to, okay, if all of this is put aside, what is it that you want? And, you know, do you have the internal authority to hold that? So in my work, I call it the wealth container. So this is one's capacity energetically to hold wealth. For example, if somebody's wealth container is like a little Chinese teacup and they're trying to sell a program for $10,000, there's never gonna work, no matter how great their business wording, messaging, positioning, and whatever else business stuff is. So what needs to always occur is that the wealth container must grow to match whatever it is we're asking. Because if that is not there, then nothing happens. So part of the work I do is we do the work on expanding that wealth container. And I also, like, integrity is one of my biggest values. So I'm totally not the proponent of this idea of like, oh, let's slap another zero on the offer and call it. Now it's 5,000. It was 500 like last week.
Right, right.
That's not how it works. What you really would do is you actually create the 5,000 or 10,000 offer. So that's a different offer. Like, there's a different value in that and what you're doing in it. But then you would have to figure out internally, what can you hold in your wealth container? And I lead them through a specific series of exercises to find that. Like, let's say maybe they know that 10 would be a stretch. 8 feels kind of good. Like, they could do 8. And from the on paper, like from the value of it, we know it's already 12. So great. That means 12 is what it's worth. You're selling it for 4,000 less. That's what it's worth.
Right,
but that's
right.
Okay. Go own that. Go sell it a couple of times. And then you start to feel like, oh, that's no problem. I can do 10. Great. Now you're selling it 2,000 less. No problem. Then get it eventually to 12. So it's not about some random, like, let's just put some number on it because it's fashionable to have a high price.
Right.
It's about actually working with what is right for this thing that you are doing and what you can match, can hold without all these sabotaging patterns. And then by doing it, you get better at expanding your wealth container. And of course, cleaning up, you know, karmic stuff that's in a way in there as well.
Absolutely. Well, you are an absolute gift. And Brains, I've never had anybody break it down like that. Seriously, because when I have people that talk about energetics, light work, they just talk about the spiritual. And I want to save the world, and I want to be a martyr, and I want to bless these people. Well, and that's absolutely fine. I have no problem with that. But along those same lines, if you are doing it and you're promoting it and you're writing books, you're speaking on stages, you're delivering healings, I believe that the universe wants to reciprocate and give you a blessing. And you have been a blessing to us today. Thank you so much, Eugenia. Please tell my Brains how to get in contact with you. Again, we're talking, you know, high level people that are already is in the space that are existing, that are really serious about this and want to level up to the next level.
Yeah, generally the people that I work with, they have to be generating income already. Doesn't have to be a lot of income. You could be at the place of maybe 3,000 a month or 5,000 a month, sometimes maybe having 10,000 a month, but you know in your being you're meant for bigger things. You know you want the next level. You just don't know yet how to get there. If that's it, then definitely reach out to me. You can find me on a Facebook as Eugenia Oganova. And I have a page, Eugenia Oganova Soul Strategy. For this conversation, there's a thing I want to offer you guys. I have a webinar, which is a, you know, training that essentially explains in way more detail all the stuff we were talking about as to, like, if you are one of those spiritual coaches or healers or light workers, and you are listening to all the stuff we were talking about, and you're kind of getting like, ooh, this is like, I want this high ticket clients, like, I know that this sounds interesting. So tell me more. Well, this training, it's Soul Strategy. Webinar.com. So soulstrategywebinar.com. If you go there, it's called How Coaches Get to Sustainable 10K Months from Their Soul Work, and high ticket clients who are ready to pay them 5,000 or more per offer. This is where I cover the new model of conscious coaching that doesn't require endless course launches and large email lists. This is how you attract high-end clients by speaking from your soul expertise, which is what we talked about here. Even right. If you don't consider yourself yet a high-end coach, like, this training will show you how to do that. And why rigid, masculine, cookie-cutter strategies you might have tried before didn't work for you. Like, one of my superpowers is that I unite this multidimensional, spiritual, nonlinear quantum stuff with super practical masculine business strategies that usually tend to scare spiritual people. But I know how to do this, and I know how to put those two together. So in that training, you're going to see, like, oh, this is what she's talking about. Oh, this is how it can work for me. So soulstrategywebinar.com, that's where you can get more information on this specific way as to how I work. And of course, you know, I have a website, transcensiongate.com.
All right, Brains. You heard it right here on The Edge with April Mahoney. The place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, the responses are never dull. This is the address, the location Like, love, and share. Again, like, love, and share. Subscribe to the podcast. I want to get this information out. Share this information with people that you know. You know, we might be lucky. She might just give it for the layman, like you and I. All right. So thank you so much, Eugenia. Please come back. Keep me posted. You are an amazing guest and you're an amazing gift. Thank you.
Thank you so much, April.
Bye, brains.